Welcome to episode 10 of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Gianluca Sola. In this episode, I interview Emmanuel Damien. Emmanuel is the founder of the Tennis Foodie website and blog. It's a really cool website and blog, and it obviously talks about tennis, food, and travel, all things that I really enjoy. They're some of my favorite things to do, and I'm sure many people love to do those as well. So he's got some interesting stories. He's traveled a lot. He's very passionate about tennis. I encourage you to go to his website and his blog. He's also done some interesting interviews. He's also received some amazing awards for his blog and, for food and travel and tennis. He's right up there. I hope you enjoy it. And ciao, ciao. Hello, Emmanuel.
Yes, hello.
Hi, can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Ah, fantastic. Thanks for taking time to chat with me on my podcast. I really appreciate it. Basically, today we're speaking with Emmanuel Damien. Is that correct how I pronounce your surname?
Yes, Damien. Yes, that's correct. Yes, that's correct.
That's quite an unusual. Is that quite a normal Filipino surname or not?
I think it's common because we were colonized by the Spaniards for 333 years. So I guess we actually got all the this Spanish names. Even my name.
No, that's quite interesting. The reason I wanted to speak to you is that you are the founder of the Tennis Foodie website and blog. On your website, you talk about obviously food, tennis, but also travel and other things. It's a very interesting website. And, you know, also myself, one of my, you know, top passions are obviously tennis, food, travel are right up there. And, I think it's a perfect fit for my podcast, which is not only tennis, but everything that's around tennis. I had a quick look. You've actually won quite some amazing awards, I see, for your blog. You won a annual Bloggers Bash 2009 Best Food Blog in London.
That's 2019. Correction.
Sorry, 2019. Sorry, yeah. Yes. And then also ranked number 11 in the world for the top 50 gastronomy blogs, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
That's pretty amazing because there is so much out there on food. I mean, there's probably the biggest subject there is on the internet around. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing to see that. That's really cool. So it's a very cool website. That's why I wanted to chat with you. Emmanuel, do you mind just for the listeners to just give a bit of a brief background of who you are, what made you decide to do create your website and how you started playing tennis and you know what you're up to now and so on?
Sure, I'll be honored. Hi everyone, I'm Emmanuel Damien, or Damien, in other the way you other the way others pronounce it. So I'm the founder of the Tennis Foodie. So it started 2016, around December 2016. So one day I decided to create a blog because I was about to travel to Europe twice on 2017, which I did in the first half and the second half. That was March. That was March 2017 and December 2017, and it became a habit for me. And I think I attracted a lot of sponsors initially during the start of this blog. So it became, again, it became like sort of like an addiction because I travel a lot and I eat a lot. I literally travel for food whenever I go outside, be it on business or personal. So yeah, I guess it became like a creative outlet as well. And a few years back, I also studied food styling and food photography. So it really strengthened my skills in terms of the food blogging world because I knew that someday I really had to step up with a lot of the competitions. That's what you've mentioned. There's a lot. It's very general, but tennis is very niche. It's a very niche field. I mean, only few people really appreciate the sport. Unlike basketball and volleyball, it's very big here in my country, but tennis is not so popular. So one of the vision also is to actually give information or at least entice people to also play the sport. It's something that I grew up with. I reconnected myself with tennis last 2012. I trained really hard and I joined national competitions. It's just really unfortunate that I got injured last 2018. And I haven't really played any tournaments. Last year, I was sidelined by a right foot injury. And this year, I was about to go back, but COVID happened. COVID-19 happened. So I'm still optimistic that we'll be able to continue my training and maybe play a few tournaments before I retire. Initially, the plan was to retire this year, but I guess I need to push it a little bit because I don't want COVID to actually end my tennis career. I'm not aspiring to, you know, to go play the ATP or ITFs. I just want, you know, to win at least one tournament before I retire. I'm still sponsored by Tennis Pro, Vivlay, and some other tennis brands.
Can I just ask you how old?
I'm actually 31. I'm turning 31. Okay. It's July 24.
So you're in your tennis prime.
Yes. that's correct. And I'm a pharmacist and I'm a scientist by profession. So tennis is actually just it's not really my career, but it's something that I really enjoy to do.
So do you play like local tournaments, national tournaments? You're based in, is it in the Philippines in Manila or outside?
Yes. I play the local tournaments and national tournaments, but I pre-select them because of also of my schedule and also I had to really take care of my body. Unlike before, I guess last 2014, I played a lot of tournaments like back-to-back until 2016. But then when I got injured, starting 2016, I felt like I really had to cut down my schedule. Before, I used to play like back-to-back tournaments or probably in a month, I would play one or two. But then I realized that it's not the best way because unlike other athletes that they are really born to do it or they've been really training their whole life, I mean, their life is really in the circuit. So it's not something that I want because it's just really, you know, a passion for me or...
Sure. Yeah. You know, no, but that's great.
It's just born out of love for me. I think the best that I got was I got into, I guess, a couple of quarterfinals in singles and then semifinals in doubles. I want to go further before I retire. It's something that, you know, I really want to achieve at least in my life.
Okay.
How
big is tennis in the Philippines? Is it quite a popular sport?
Now it's getting more popular, especially because we have a lot of promising junior talents. We have Francis Casey Alcantara winning the Australian Open last 2008, and then we have another girl. She's number 4 right now in the junior circuit. Her name is Her surname is Ayala. I forgot her name. But yeah, I've been following these players. And we also have like Treat Yui. She's a former top 20 player in the world. Obviously, he really is successful in doubles with I remember one of his successful partnership was with Max Mirny of Belarus. They actually reached the ATP World final, so it's something, you know, I'm very proud of as a Filipino.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it's not as popular as compared to those of Europe, but I think we're getting there. Probably if there would be more exposure or there would be more opportunities or tournaments that would really boost our interest, then that would be fine. But as of now, I think in Asia, we're probably in the middle, not really that popular. And unlike in China, in Japan, it's a heavy tennis nations, but for us, not so much.
Not yet. Okay. And no, that's great. There's a lot of things to talk about, but I wanted to touch on a few things. Obviously, food and travel, I'm quite interested. I often, with my family, if we go on holiday overseas, I usually, that's the funny thing, I will pick a country that we go and visit, but I will also always attach either a tennis tournament or a sort of summer camp that my boys can play tennis. And then I'll also research all the food and the restaurants, the markets we should go to. So that's one of my favorite things to do. I wanted to ask you, I looked on your website and I mean, you've traveled a lot, especially in the last 5-10 years. It seems you've traveled everywhere. If you had to select a few of your favorite places, which ones would they be?
Well, that's a very tricky question. Maybe I can give you like the top five. Obviously, Europe is my favorite. Belgium and France and also Italy. I love Italy in such a way that there's so many things to do. And I love walking whenever I travel. I also love Sweden. That's four already, but maybe I can cite more, not just five. I also love Japan. I've been to Japan several times. It's the perfect marriage of culture and modernization. And I also love the food. Definitely, Japanese food is in my top three. It's my number two. Number one is Italian. Number two is Japanese, and number three would be Indian food.
Sorry, you said number one is Italian.
Yes.
That's great. You know I'm Italian. I live in South Africa, but I grew up in Italy. I actually grew up in Modena, which is considered the stomach of Italy, where all the best food comes from. So
I can go there soon. I've only been
to Rome. No, you must visit. There's a route. It's usually not a typical tourist route, which is also great, but it's called the food route, and it's small little towns in the region of Emilia Romagna, and they've done this food route, which is Parma, Modena, Bologna, Reggio Emilia, and you know you've got all your Parma hams, your cheeses, and tons of food there. So I just a suggestion there if you ever go back. But sorry to interrupt you. So you put Italy, Japan, and Indian food as your favorite.
Yeah, that's my top three. And I also enjoy going back to Hong Kong. It's also one of my favorite. I think you can notice that I've been there four times. It's one of my favorite layovers and also short trips because it's just near my country. There's not much time difference, and I really love the food. I love Hong Kong and Chinese food.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yes.
I went to Hong Kong also, but many years ago, and I'm always promising my family I'm going to bring them there, because again, I think that is probably the nicest city I've ever visited. There's just something about it that
left an impression on me, the vibe. And it's kind of a mixture of a New York with Asia, and you've also got the Western. And then the food and the street food is amazing. I mean, yes. Just absolutely incredible. But, you know, yesterday I was going through Twitter, and I couldn't really understand this very well, but it seemed like a serious tweet of someone saying, this is one of the last street food vendors in Hong Kong. Is there something happening there for street food? Do you know if there is something happening, or maybe I didn't read correctly?
I think because in the last few months, there has been a lot of political issues in Hong Kong, a lot of rallies as well.
Yeah.
So it really affected the economy. So I think that's one of the considerations why you know, this economy is starting to go down. But I'm not really quite sure. I'll definitely look back into it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you had to suggest a tennis holiday, like a holiday or a destination, mm-hmm. where you'd have to combine tennis, food, it could be a tournament, it could be something. What would you suggest?
Surprisingly, I would suggest USA. Las Vegas is a very good tennis destination for a holiday, because you have the sightseeings, you have the museums,
yeah.
you have the Las Vegas Strip, and then you have good selections of restaurants in Las Vegas, and as well,
yeah.
as there's a very good tennis center nearby. So it's being run by my friend, and he's the tournament director. So I actually hit some few balls there, although the altitude can be very different from what I'm used to. I remember when I trained there earlier this year, for the first 15 to 20 minutes, I had a struggle because it has a high altitude.
Yeah.
But eventually I was able to really practice thereafter. So I think also one of the considerations whenever you pick a tennis holiday is that you have to also check the weather. Maybe if it's winter or if it's spring or if it's summer, at least you're very much conditioned as an athlete. If you're used to that kind of conditions, I play usually on clay and on hard courts. Clay is my favorite surface, and hard court is my least favorite. I played on grass for a few occasions. Grass is very difficult. It's very fast. I really enjoy playing on clay because I can slide, and you know, the bounce of the ball, I can really hit that backhand down the line very well on clay. But I still also really enjoy playing on hard courts. It's just that probably my game really,
you're better on clay.
I'm better in clay, and I get more or better results on clay as well.
Okay, great. I was just wondering, I've only been to Hong Kong and Thailand, but if you had to give a suggestion for food and maybe a tennis holiday close to where you are in Asia, in that part of the world, what suggestions would you give to someone like me?
All right. So definitely you should visit Asia, not just Hong Kong or Thailand. You should also visit the Philippines. People are very hospitable and very welcoming, as what I've mentioned. Culturally,
yeah.
we are very close-knit. We have a very close-knit society. And for Thailand, food are often very spicy and very refreshing. So I suggest you get tom yum. A pad thai rather, and you should also try some of their seafood. And for Hong Kong, I always get dim sum, and I love noodles as well. Whenever I go to Hong Kong, I make sure I pick out the best Shaolong Bao also. It's one of my favorite dim sum. So whenever I go to Hong Kong, I always get that. Also pork buns. It's something that I also enjoy. Also in the Philippines, yeah. We have a very diverse melting pot of culture and food gastronomy. So so there's so much, or there's so many restaurants to choose from. You have Mesa, you have Manam, you also have you also have different buffets setups. So
Do you get the Spanish influence in your cuisine as well?
Yes, definitely. We have menudo, we have adobo. Those are, you know, Spanish inspired menu from the Philippines. And it's also very important to know that since we were colonized by the Spaniards for 333 years, and by the Americans by around 40 plus years, and by the Japanese for 3 years. So, you know, all of these influences really translated to our culture, to our food, to our daily life, even with our languages. So we're very thankful that even though we have that dark past, we were able to, you know, get this, you know, positive inputs from their culture.
Sure.
Yes.
And in the Philippines, would there be some nice clubs to play tennis? Anyone that you would suggest?
So I usually play at Rizal Memorial Tennis Club or Tennis Complex. I really love training there because before they used to held international tournaments, even an ITF tournament before. So, you know, the caliber of the facilities are quite well.
Where is it again? Can you just repeat that?
It's in Rizal Memorial Tennis Complex. That's in Manila. That's near DLSU, the university. So
okay. All right.
So you get a very good facility, and some of the junior tournaments and senior tournaments before were held in this same place. Even the Asian Games were also held on this tennis courts. So you know the quality of the courts are very good, and you also have some other tennis clubs, but because they are on membership. So I would really suggest you go to Rizal Memorial because you can just go by walk-in and just pay whenever you want to play.
Okay. Wow. Okay. And that's great. Because Asian ATP and WT tournaments are usually sort of towards the end of the year after the US Open, the American Swing. You know, you get the ones in China and in Japan, and have you ever been to any of those?
Well, supposedly I'll attend some before when there was the year-end championships in Singapore. I was about to go, but then I had a conflict with my schedule, and then even with Tokyo, I love coming back to Tokyo. It's just that it's always the wrong timing or the wrong schedule for me, so I haven't really, you know, watched any of these tournaments. But someday I would really want to watch, especially the big tournaments, maybe the China Open, the Pan Pacific Open, and also maybe some of the smaller tournaments as well around Asia. Currently, there's more tournaments in China, probably because they can host more and they have the capacity to really cater for these tournaments. But I really hope that I hope Philippines can also host tournaments again. I remember we had the Davis Cup here for the zone, Asian zone playoffs.
Okay.
And also we had the IPTL. That was an exhibition tournament for the big pros a few years back. Hmm. So, you know,
I remember that.
I remember I met Tomas Berdick, his former world number 4 from the Czech Republic. He's a Wimbledon final. Meeting him in person was a dream come true for me.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Have you actually interviewed or any tennis players or
Yes, I did. I just recently published an article last night, actually. I interviewed Oana Simeon. She's the number one ITF player, female
player. I saw that. Currently.
Yes, and I interviewed Trit Yui as well. That's the article is also in my blog. I tried to reach out to other players as well, but I think they're very busy. I have an interview currently with Vanya King. She's a two-time Grand Slam champion. I'm just waiting for her response. And also, I interviewed Tomas Berdick actually when I met him, but I didn't publish it because it was too short. I remember I asked him like three questions. What's your favorite surface? He mentioned indoor hard court, and he loves his forehand. Okay. And yeah, he really likes to play in Europe, usually indoor tournaments. So
You didn't ask him what his favorite food is.
Oh, that time I was, you know, there was so many people asking questions, so I really prioritized the tennis questions. Yeah,
sure.
he's really tall and he's very lean, very athletic, very European also. But he's really nice. He's one of the nicest ATP players actually, and very stylish also.
Okay, cool. I have to ask you a few questions. Also, I was just wondering, do you cook?
Yes, I do cook, and I also bake. Recently, I've been publishing my original recipes on my blog because a lot of people are asking about it. So whenever I have spare time, I publish it, and I also partner with different sponsors and brands. It's also a good marketing tool for small businesses, especially now during COVID-19 pandemic. We really want to give support to this local SMEs because at the end of the day, you know, it's really tough times for us, and we really just want to give our little help for these little businesses.
Support. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm. And have you got any trips planned in the next, let's say after all this COVID will disappear, hopefully soon, have you got any trips planned?
Yes, supposedly by the end of the year, I was about to go, me and my brother, to New York. I've always wanted to watch the US Open, but I guess it will not happen. But the ticket is still valid until December 10. So I'm not sure what would be the changes. If it became more relaxed, probably I would still go around November or December in New York. And I still have free tickets also to Thailand, to Bangkok. So I might try to push it next year, or if it permits in the next few months, maybe October or November also. Those are the two things for the short term. That's my plan. But for the next year, I'm coming back to Europe because I really enjoy going back to Europe. I've never been to Spain. I've never been to Portugal and Greece. So that's the plan, these three countries, and maybe go back to Belgium as well. I have good friends in Belgium, and they invited me back.
Belgium is a place. Brussels, I remember visiting it many years ago, where you have an amazing food scene.
Yes, I actually really tried the authentic Belgian waffles. I remember in Bruges, it's just near Brussels. It's just one train away. I was really happy because it's a UNESCO heritage site. And one of the restaurants there are actually preparing the authentic Belgian waffle. And I was just really happy, you know, seeing my bubbly face, you know, these people are looking into me. I'm taking a lot of photos and my food making faces, and there was just, you know, there was just really happy, and they even asked for my photo. And you know, it's like it's like being a rock star or a celebrity in a European country. So so it's really a good experience, and it was also winter time, so I really get to enjoy a hot choco in combination with the Belgian waffle. So it's really a nice feeling.
Yeah, I visited there in Brussels, and the food scene is amazing because it's also all outside. There's lots of tables. There's one restaurant after another. They have fantastic beers. Obviously, their pommes frites, their chips, and their there's a lot there. Lots of nice things to do.
But
and you were talking about New York. And I've got this amazing memory. I love Chinese food. I actually grew up, and once a week we'd always go eat Chinese. And in New York, I went, I don't remember the name or anything, but I just found this place in Chinatown. And you take this elevator and you go up a few floors. And when the elevator opens, you're in a sort of a dim sum, big open space. You know, the ones that they bring you the dim sum on the carts. And they stamp whatever you take. And I just remember eating like a pig. I must have eaten so many dim sum, and I remember it costing next to nothing. It was an amazing experience. Emmanuel, there's kind of a funny sound. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yes.
Okay. No, great. I was thinking, just to continue. Look, there's a lot we can talk about, but
yes, we can talk. Yeah, definitely, we can talk more, and you can just edit whatever appropriate questions or whatever good is. Because I'm free the whole afternoon, so we can talk more.
Yeah, no, I'll just continue. I was just wondering if I've got a sort of a lot of quick fire questions.
Sure.
Yeah, like, what's your very first memory of tennis?
My first memory was, I think, when I was in grade school. My brother is actually a varsity of tennis, and I was so jealous because my dad really likes him playing tennis, and I tried to swing the ball. My coach said I have a very good full swing on backhand, so I think that's one of the memory that I have as a child.
Okay. And what age did you start playing?
I think I started around, maybe late, around probably around 12, I guess.
Okay.
I started really late, and then I stopped for a while, and then I reconnected myself with tennis last 2012 because I really focused on my academics. I was really good in school. I really love science, and I really love art. Really excelling in school, so I remember I had to focus on school first, and then after I'm school, and then I played tennis again.
Okay. If you have to define what type of player you are to somebody who's never seen you, how would you describe yourself?
Very good question. Maybe I'm an ultra competitive, aggressive baseliner. So that's my definition of myself.
Okay. All right. So you don't like losing.
Yes, I don't like losing. And also, I like short points. So I try to kill the ball as much as I could. I hate rallying a lot. As I've mentioned, I really want to finish the ball like after two or three hits. And I really love going in the baseline because I have a very strong forehand and backhand, especially on my backhand side. So I try to, I try to trick the players that I have a very poor backhand, because most of the time they usually attack my backhand. They don't know I have a stronger backhand than my forehand. So I always kill them with my backhand.
Okay. So it's a surprise.
It's a surprise.
Surprise weapon. My backhand is rubbish. I just slice everything.
Yes.
And do you have a tennis idol when you grew up?
I love Roger Federer. He's very professional and he's very graceful in the court. I also love Anna Ivanovic. I can really relate to her story, and I really like her personality, her fighting spirit. And I guess we had the same trajectory in terms of her career. I also had that up and down moments, so I can really relate to her. And she's really a very genuine person, so I really love that for her. It really resonates with tennis.
She's really recently had a child, I think, with the football player,
yes,
the German
Bastian,
one, Schweinsteiger.
Schweinsteiger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
I
yeah.
Really
they
still
look...
follow her, and I remember I had a couple of interactions with her in social media, in Twitter, and I even saved those screenshots. And I also have her, you know, signed items. I'm really, you know, I'm really fond of Anna. You know, if someone asks. It's always Anna Ivanovic. I always tell everyone, oh, my favorite player is Anna Ivanovic and then Roger Federer. So she's always number one in my list.
Okay, yeah, she's a great player. She was a great player. And currently, is there any new young male or female player that you really enjoy watching?
That's a very tricky question. I think in the female side, I really love Yelena Ostapenko. She can be very aggressive. She can be very mercurial, but I really love her game. She's very fearless, and you know, I just love, you know, seeing her emotions on the court. I think that's on the women's side. In the male side, I really love seeing Borna Coric. And I also love seeing Stefanos Tsitsipas. Steph has been very consistent all throughout. You know, he can be very philosophical outside the court, but in terms of the court, I think he has a very good future. Alex Zverev, you know, the future of tennis in the men's side would be Alex Zverev, Dominic Thiem, and Stefanos Tsitsipas and Borna Coric. These four is actually like the representation of the big four. So I really believe that they could be, you know, the future of men's tennis.
And how about Medvedev?
Medvedev is also good. It's just that I guess he needs to work on his temper. But other than that, he's really a very consistent player also.
If you have to list the big three from favorite to least favorite, okay, we know who's your number one.
Oh, yeah, definitely Anna Ivanovic is my number one. Number two would be...
big three meaning Federer, Djokovic, and Nadal.
Okay. Yeah.
Which?
I guess the GOAT for me, the greatest of all time, would always be Roger Federer. Because he actually paved the way for men tennis, not just for men, but also for women. Well, I know, you know, Serena's also been there for the women's tennis, but I guess, you know, the best representation is always Roger Federer with his elegance, his grace, his charity on and off the court. And, you know, his achievements in tennis, I think that's number one for me. And then next would be Rafa Nadal. He's obviously the king of clay, no doubt about it. But, you know, throughout the years, he always proves everyone that he can also play on grass and hard courts, especially in the hard courts. He's been winning hard court titles as well. You know, it's always... it's always an issue for him that, okay, he won everything on clay, but he doesn't win any hard court titles. But in the last few years, he's been, you know, racking up some titles also on the hard court surface. So I see him as
I think the fact that he's won so and been so dominant on clay, people just think of him as a clay court player. But the truth is, he's adapted his game and he's won Wimbledon. He's won U.S. Open. I mean, you know. He can play on any surface.
It's just that probably the dominance on clay was so flawless that people can just see him as a clay court specialist. But I really believe not. He's really a great champion and a great example for many kids. Next would be Novak Djokovic. You know, he had that late surge in his career. I really believe at one point he can really surpass Roger Federer. But I think in terms of the achievements, I would still go for Roger. There's so many records that Roger holds until now. Even if Novak Djokovic would surpass the number of Grand Slams. And there's so many other history written in history that he cannot really surpass as of the moment. So I think no questions asked. It's always going to be Roger number one, Rafa number two, and Novak number three.
Yeah. I think this will be a debate that will go on forever.
Yeah, I know. Unless someone retires from the top three, which I think probably by 2022 or 2020, or the maximum would be 2025. Someone would definitely retire.
I think Roger next year will be his last year. He's already hinting that lately. He's going to do Wimbledon, the Olympics, and then he's going to say goodbye. I'm quite sure of that.
Yeah. Also
because he's nearly 40. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm also really rooting for him to win big tournaments. You know, there's so many heartbreaking losses in Wimbledon. He had so many chances to really boost his Grand Slam wins, but even at Australian Open, I think Australian Open and Wimbledon is his two best Grand Slams. So I really believe that eventually he will win, like at least. I'm still optimistic about it. Rafa definitely is the one to beat at French Open, no doubt about it. US yeah. Open, everyone can really, you know, the next few top players can actually win it. It's the site of upsets. The non-big three or the non-big four who won a Grand Slam actually won either in French, which is or US Open, but a lot actually won in US Open, like Marin Cilic and Juan Martin Del Potro, even Stan Wawrinka. Stan Wawrinka is the only one, I think, outside of the top four that actually won French Open. So when you look into it, US Open is much more an open Grand Slam compared to the other three. Because I guess it's the last turn, it's the last Grand Slam. So, you know, the wear and tear of the athletes and, you know, the physical conditioning as well. Okay, I already won a Grand Slam. So at least you have that big relief that you for this season you won a Grand Slam. But yeah, it can be also tricky.
What's the best tournament in the world, in your opinion? What's your favorite tournament?
If I'm gonna pick for Grand Slams, I'm really torn between French Open and Australian Open. So Australian Open maybe because I'm from Asia Pacific. French Open because I really love clay, no doubt about it. So that's an easy answer for me. But outside Grand Slams, I would choose probably Indian Wells. It's one of the most organized tournaments, and I just love the format of Indian Wells also.
Yeah, I think that is one of my bucket list things, and after speaking to you now, I think Indian Wells and combine that with Las Vegas could be a nice tennis trip as well. Let's talk a bit fashion now. I've also throw in a few of these questions. What's the best tennis shoes you've ever had?
No doubt, it's Adidas for me.
Okay. Any particular model? The Barricade?
I love the Barricade series. I've been wearing it for a couple of years. I just love the foot support. And the designs are also very, I think it's very chic for me and very sporty also.
Okay. And you said, what tennis racket do you use? A 10X?
Right now I'm using 10X. Couple of years. Before I was using Head.
That's an Australian company, am I right? It's quite new.
That's an Australian company. I went to Sydney last 2017. It was on a trial basis. That time, I wasn't really ready to shift from Head to 10X Pro, but then when I tried using it and played something, I felt that it was really good to hit with.
I never heard of that company, and a friend of mine was here in Cape Town. He managed to get hold of a few of these 10X as samples. He was thinking of maybe trying to distribute them here in South Africa. So
yeah,
they only sent him though like the top of, you know, the pro
the caliber.
One.
I think the caliber.
I don't know. Is it? I don't remember its name, but we all tried it for a couple of weeks, and you know, it's not for us, you know. It's too heavy. It's got the very little sweet spot. It's for a pro. And but I just remember it being an amazing racket, but just, you know, my arm, I think after half an hour, wouldn't be able to swing anymore. But yeah, very good. Then he decided not to go ahead with it. But yeah, was very impressed.
I think the design is really good. I guess it's really your comfort zone whenever if you're really comfortable playing with it. I think during my first few tournaments, I also had difficulty playing with it because I'm not used to the racket. So I think in one of the tournaments, I switched during the first played with it, and then I switched to my old racket because I brought it with me. So you know, I had those initial problems, but eventually because during the practice, I've been using the same racket. So I got used to it. But yeah, I think it's always an issue for all players whenever you shift from one racket to another. There will always be, you know, adjustments, and you know, you have to check the grip, the tension, and so on and so forth. So you just have to really practice with it.
Sure. Is there a tennis club which is the best tennis club you've ever been to?
I think the one in Las Vegas, because they have the best facilities. The tennis courts are all good. You have the outside courts, you have indoor courts as well. And in terms of the gym also, whenever with your tennis, you can actually cool down on the gym, and you also have inside, and also some you have sauna, a very good shower room, so you know, you feel comfortable, and you always feel welcome on that club. So I remember when I went there, I told myself that I should have come sooner.
Here's another one that I think I always ask this question to any guest on the podcast, but for you, I think it is made, it's a made question for you. If you have to book a restaurant and invite three players, male or female, which restaurant and which players?
That's very tricky. I've been wanting to eat at this pizza restaurant in Brooklyn in New York. So maybe I'll take Anna Ivanovic. That's all. Number two would be Roger Federer, and third would be Maria Sharapova, I guess.
Okay.
We'll have probably, you know,
that's
some pizza.
Nice company.
Yeah, we'll have some pizza, we'll have some drinks, and then maybe we'll have sugar pova at the end as dessert. Care of Maria.
Okay. What's your favorite pizza? Do you have one?
There's so many, I guess, but you know, classic would always be the best one. Pepperoni would always be, you know, a classic for me. But I also love cheese. Cheese pizza, the three cheese pizza, and you know, I really enjoy as well. We call it like chicken blanca pizza, something like white sauce and chicken on it. So it's also one of the best pizzas I tried.
I'm not sure, but
or anything with bacon.
You mustn't tell that to an Italian. You mustn't. You must. The first ones are fine, but not the chicken one.
Yeah, but. You know, I love anything with red sauce also, in pasta or in pizza. So I really enjoy red sauce. I love tomato-based dishes in general. Okay.
Going back to tennis, would you say it's the most difficult sport in the world?
Well, yes, it's difficult. I'm not sure if that's the most difficult. Maybe for some people, because they're not accustomed to tennis as a sport, but I guess it's one of the most expensive in terms of the logistics, in terms of the actual play and training, and also not just physical, but also mental, because, you know, tennis is a mental game. I really believe on that. Mm. So even though you have the best forehand or you have a best serve, but if you crumble mentally, you won't really win the game. I guess you also have to intimidate your opponent. And also, you know, just fight till the end, even if you're losing. You know, you can always, you know, save some match points at the end and turn the game into your favor. So it's always a mental game for me.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think if 30 years from now, how do you think tennis will look like in 2050? Do you think it will be very different?
I think it would be very different. I mean, looking back a few years, I remember we have the wooden rackets, and now we have, and then we shifted to titanium, and now we have the lightweight rackets. And before, it used to be like longer sets, and now you have the fast format also. I guess in the future, there would be more diverse rules, more inclusive rules also. Everything really evolves. It actually adapts to the environment. You know, the changes. There's more equality now for both men and women. So I think that's also one of the things that I can see in the future also.
Okay. Okay, now the super tiebreak, 10 questions.
Yes.
Just quickly, you have to give me your favorite shots. It can be male or female players.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the serve. Who would you choose?
Serena Williams.
Okay, that's interesting. Return?
Maria Sharapova.
Forehand?
Anna Ivanovic.
Backhand?
Roger Federer.
Volley?
I think Martina Navratilova.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a very good one. Yeah. Drop shot?
Agnieszka Radwanska. She's the ninja. She loves
it. Okay. Okay. Movement?
Movement. I think Novak Djokovic really moves really well.
Yeah, he usually gets the vote for that one.
Yeah.
And the next one is always usually the same one, but let's see. Mentality.
Maria Sharapova. She's really a
fan. Okay. Well, that's good as well. Yeah, I would say she's right up there, but nearly everyone goes with Rafa there. Style.
Style. Which style? Like fashion or elegant?
Yeah.
I would go for Roger Federer on that.
Roger Federer, okay. And best personality?
Anna Ivanovic, definitely.
Okay.
She's an angel.
All right. Okay. You. That's really good. Emmanuel, look, there's a lot more I could ask you, and we can talk, but because I think food and tennis, we could talk a long time. But just to finish, because we're getting close to 1 hour, and I usually don't want to be longer than an hour. Mm-hmm. I usually end all the interviews with a question, it's this one. Ask yourself a question and answer it. In your case, it has to be a tennis, food, travel. You can do ask yourself a question and answer it.
Okay. So my question would be, what would be your first Grand Slam experience? I think the answer would be the most visible right now would be US Open or Australian Open for me. So I think that's the answer.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fantastic. Great, Manuel. Thank you very much. This was a bit of a different show. I really enjoyed it. We've had a bit of noise issues, but it wasn't that bad. I'm sure it's pretty good. I'll try and edit it at my best, but otherwise it was great talking to you, and maybe we'll talk again soon. And just thanks again for being on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for the invitation. You know, it's an honor, you know, being invited in your podcast. And I'm really looking forward for the final podcast so I can also share it with my readers and my fans also. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Emmanuel.
Thank you. And
ciao. Bye.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao. Bye. You know, man.